Church family, take your Bibles back out. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 as we continue studying, helping the authentic church continue being the authentic church. Our main lesson that we're carrying with us, the authentic church will come under satanic attack, and when she does, she needs encouragement to stand her ground and trust the Lord. Got another story for you about prayer. Listen to this. This is unique. Dr. Randolph Bird did a prayer experiment. In 1988, Dr. Bird, who is a cardiologist, conducted a study at San Francisco General Hospital that would quietly shake the medical and spiritual worlds. Dr. Bird set out to test something most scientists wouldn't even touch. And the question he asked and wanted to have answered is this: does prayer actually make a difference in medical outcomes? The study involved 393 patients admitted to the coronary care unit. The patients were randomly divided into two groups. One group was prayed for daily by born-again Christians who were given the patients' names and their conditions, but there was no personal contact between them. The other group received no prayer. Everything else, the doctors, the treatments, the medications, everything else was identical. The only thing different in their care was one group was prayed for, didn't know it, and the other group was not. The results, Dr. Bird said they were striking. The prayed for group had significantly fewer complications. They were less likely to need antibiotics. They had fewer cases of pneumonia, fewer instances of congestive heart failure, even fewer cardiac arrests. Critics, of course, tried to explain it away. Some chalked it up to nothing more than coincidence. But others couldn't help but notice the prayed-for patients just got better more often. Dr. Bird later remarked, quote, "Intercessory prayer to the Judeo-Christian God has a beneficial therapeutic effect in patients admitted to a coronary care unit," end quote. Now, for those of us who are believers, that does not catch us by surprise. We know that the power of prayer. We know that prayer is not magical. There's no magic to prayer. It doesn't eliminate suffering or sickness altogether. But this study proved that, statistically speaking, in a measurable way, prayer changes the medical conditions of people. Hallelujah. You are just sitting there like, no big deal. I think that's a big deal. Now, when I get sick and everything, I want you guys to be praying for me. Now, y'all can pray for me before that because I need all I can get. But prayer changes things. And I just give God the glory for that. God works as the saints pray. And if anything that I've learned as a Christian, as a pastor, and as a member of a church family, that we have learned, maybe we think too low of prayer. I've visited people who are no longer able to come to church, and more than one says, well, all I can do is pray. And I'm like, thank you. Absolutely. Please do that. I want us to take a higher view of prayer. The instructions to pray are emblazoned on the pages of Scripture. And if we're going to have a high view of Scripture, we must also hold a high view of prayer. The Bible says in Mark chapter 11, verse 24, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours." The Bible says in Romans 8:26, "Likewise, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray." Have you ever been there? "But the Holy Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings in a language that is too deep for human words. James chapter 5, verse 16, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Philippians 4, 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, I think I have a patent on that. How about y'all? The Bible says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, Jesus said, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. You don't have to pray long prayers. Hallelujah. Colossians 4, 2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, one of the smallest verses in the whole Bible. Pray, you know this one, pray without ceasing. Jeremiah 33, 3, call to me and I will answer you, says the Lord, and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. John chapter 15, verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, Jesus said, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 12, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will hear you. Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Amen. Romans chapter 12, verse 12, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Are you getting the gist, church family? Well, some of you aren't. Let me continue. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. 1 John chapter 4, verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Psalm 145, 18. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 and following. Pray this way. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Lord, I don't know how to pray. He just spelled it out for you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Matthew 5, 44, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. 1 John 5, 15, and if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. Church family, if we're going to hold a high view of Scripture, we must hold a high view of prayer. We must. What have we learned so far? Well, we've learned a couple of things when it comes to helping the authentic church continue being the authentic church. So far, we've seen that when Satan attacks, the church needs encouragement to stand firm from a messenger of God. God has always sent a messenger to his people in times of need. People listened to him sometimes and sometimes they didn't, but likewise, here in the New Testament, he sent a messenger to the church of Thessalonica. And then secondly, we saw that not only does he send a messenger during satanic attacks, but he also sends encouragement to stand firm via a message of God. And the third thing that we see here this morning is this. When an authentic church comes under satanic attacks, she needs encouragement to stand firm through the meditations, that is, the prayers of godly leaders and godly members. Once again, I want to bring this text before you this morning. Listen, follow along. For whatever thanksgiving can we return to God? For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you? for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God, as we pray most earnestly, night and day, that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Verse 11, now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Once again, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I want to come before you this morning with a hearty and a humble thanks, for you have been good to us. You've been good to us in so many ways. Father, one of the greatest gifts you give to us is the ability to pray, just simply talk to you anytime, anywhere, under any circumstance or condition. And we know you hear our prayers and will answer our prayer as you see fit. And we give you praise and honor and glory for that. Lord, just give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a taste for this, your wonderful, infallible word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. A fellow by the name of Dr. Warren Wiersbe writes, the word of God and prayer should go together. And that's exactly what we're seeing here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now, this has been the way things worked in the church since the first of the history of the church after Jesus rose from the dead. We know that Acts is a history of the New Testament church starting right after the ascension of Jesus Christ. And in one of the churches, there was a problem between two different groups of members in the church. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 6, verse 4, the apostles are saying, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So in other words, the preachers of the church, the elders of the church, the leaders of the church, that's what we could call them at this point, although that's not, they weren't called elders. They saw their job as being men of the word, ministering the word, and men of prayer. And so what happened is they selected seven men in Acts chapter 6 to be what I would call deacons. Anyway, I think this is the precursor to the office of the diaconate, even though the noun deacon wasn't used there. The verb form of the word was used there, to serve. And so they selected these seven men so that they could go and minister to these two different groups that were in crisis and that were fighting. And the entire church approved of their plan. It seems that church polity was alive and well. So it goes from the leaders to the church. The church voted on it, liked it. Then the church selected seven men to carry out this ministry to these two factions in the church to help them get through it, so that the leaders, the preachers, could continue ministering with the word and through prayer. Now, why do you say that, Pastor David? Because there's one thing you want me to do, among other things. But one of the two top priorities that I have as your pastor is to minister the word of God to you each and every Sunday and every Wednesday and whatever else I get a chance, and to pray. And you want to make sure that everything else is out of the way, that I can do those two things in season and out of season. Because prayer is that important to the life of an authentic church. Amen and amen. Paul writes, for what thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God? You know, it's for joy that Paul prays. Notice Paul returns to God thanksgiving for all the joy that they had for this authentic church family that had been undergoing satanic persecution. Paul realizes that this fledgling church is doing well because the hand of the Lord has blessed them with all that they need, not only to survive spiritual affliction, but to also thrive in the midst of spiritual affliction. Church family, prayer is much more than making requests of God. And it's spelled out for us here in these verses that prayer, oftentimes, more times than not, arises from a heart of thanksgiving to God. I think one of the reasons why we fall short when it comes to prayer is because we often see the glass half empty rather than half full. Paul is blessed here to know how well this little congregation is going. And one of the first things that he tells them is he returns thanksgiving to God for all that God is doing in this little church family. I dare say that thanksgiving should be the priority of praying every day. Thanksgiving to God for all that He has done for us. Has God ever done something in your life that brought you joy, that just fills your soul? And then that joy overflows into a heart filled with thanksgiving, and like projectiles, you can't hold that thanksgiving in, it just comes out. And you just give thanks to the Lord. I hope so. Lord, help us to be more thankful. And help us to tell you we're thankful. You know, one of the things that we try to teach our kids, and I see my kids trying to teach their kids, is when somebody does something for you, you say, thank you. Thank you. God has done so much for us, church family. Let's not hold back thanksgiving. Amen? Let's give God praise and thanksgiving that He so deserves in our lives each and every day. Hallelujah. I'm going to talk you into it before long. And so Paul is returning thanks for the joy that he feels over this little Thessalonican church. And so that's the gist of what Paul is writing in verse number 9. One theologian says this: no amount of thanks is able to express the gratitude Paul had to God for the joy that they were experiencing. Now, the Greek word translated in the ESV, we return, is a single Greek word, expresses within its meaning the impossibility that there is of repaying the Lord for all of the divine work that He is doing in our lives. It is impossible to thank Him enough. And that's what Paul's getting at here when he's talking about we return thanksgiving. One theologian says the outworkings of God's grace in their lives had made Paul grateful beyond expression. Our prayers of thanksgiving, if you think about it, will be the only prayers that we will pray for all eternity. Right? Because one day, my knee will not hurt me anymore. One day, there will be no lack for any of God's people. There will be no harm coming to any of God's people. And the only kind of prayers that we will pray for all eternity are prayers of thanksgiving to God. So let's get practicing on it now, right? Let's get practicing on it now. Are you a grateful Christian? Have you ever met an ungrateful Christian? I have. Those are oxymoronic. You know that, right? Gratefulness is something that naturally occurs in the heart and the mind of the believer because they've been given a heart to praise the Lord and to give thanks to God. Amen? Amen. When's the last time that you just sat down and said, thank you, Lord? Some of you may be thinking, well, I don't know what I have to thank Him for. Well, you're not thinking hard enough. Amen? My question is, what do you not have to thank him for? The world has always been corrupt. It will always be corrupt. But God has always been good, and he is greater than the world. And there are many, 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 many things that we have to be thankful for. And you know, I think that in part, that's what helps an authentic church continue being an authentic church, is that we know we have much to be thankful for. The Bible says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So let's learn that lesson this morning, church family. It is the will of God for church members and for church leaders to give thanks to God in all circumstances. All circumstances. Now next week, well, one more verse and then I'm going to quit because it's late. Can y'all manage just that one more verse? Verse 10 says this, as we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. So the first thing we see here is Paul has a joyful heart. He returns thanks for this church family to God in prayer. Okay? Thanksgiving is praying. Now, the next thing Paul tells us in verse 10 is how they prayed, not what they prayed. And he says, as they prayed, they prayed for another opportunity to be with these Thessalonican Christians so that they can supply what is lacking in their faith. Now, again, Paul was joyful as he prayed with thanksgiving to God for the church of Thessalonica and expressed that in this gratitude in prayer. But he also knew that this fledgling church, as well as they were withstanding satanic attack, they still had room for spiritual growth. And so his course of action in order for them to supply what was lacking in their faith, in order for Paul and Silas and Timothy to do that, they did this. We pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face. So this word most earnestly comes from a million-dollar Greek word that's about, no kidding, six syllables long, and I'm not going to try to pronounce it because I would just butcher it, and you would think I'm speaking in tongues, and you would ask for an interpreter. That's how long it is. But the Greek scholars call the word translated most earnestly in the ESV, say that it is a super superlative. So this Greek word, as you can imagine, has a long definition. So let me just sort of walk through it. It means overflowing all bounds. They pray most earnestly. They pray in such a way that overflows all bounds. They're surpassingly praying. They're super abundantly in prayer. Their prayer cannot be measured. It's beyond measure. They're praying exceedingly over and above and more than enough what would be typically expected of them. It describes an extraordinary degree of involvement and being involved in prayer in a considerably excessive way. Right, do you get the gist? This is the way Alice used to look at me when we were first married, if that helps you. So how can we trim that definition down so that we can understand what most earnestly is? Well, look at the next words in the verse. How did they pray? Most earnestly how? Night and day. That's how they prayed. As Paul writes later in 1 Thessalonians, they prayed without ceasing. So what can we learn about prayer this morning? First, let's always have a heart of gratitude to the Lord. There is something in our lives that we can always be thankful to God for. Amen. And when we pray, let's pray without ceasing. Amen and amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the treasure of your word. And it truly is a treasure. And Father, I'll be the first to admit I need to work on my prayer life. And I'm sure I'm not alone in that. So I pray, Lord Father God, that you would help me to have a thankful heart to you. And that you would help me express that thankfulness without ceasing. In Jesus' name, amen.